This is Radio Parallax, a slightly different perspective from a slightly different view, with topics that include matters in science, technology, history, politics, current events, and whatever we damn well please. And now the host of Radio Parallax, Douglas Everett.
Welcome to the program. I am your host, Douglas Everett, and joining me in this special edition, special welcome back to school edition of this program, because classes are starting today at our alma mater here, UC Davis. Joining me is Dr. Andy Jones of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour, normally part of the Public Affairs Broadcasting the day before, on Wednesday.
Thanks for having me, Doug.
Andy, I'm glad to have you. In the second segment, we're going to talk a little bit about television and its inventor, Philo T. Farnsworth. But I'm pleased to be on the air here on the first day of classes here at UC Davis, and I thought we would have some special stuff for that occasion.
I'm looking forward to it.
I would like to start with the fact that a lot of you people out there, a lot of you listeners today are going to be starting, this will be your first day of college, and that must be a very daunting thing. I can remember back to my first day of school, and it's a whole new world. It ain't high school anymore. We're not in Kansas anymore, Toto. But I noticed here, U.S. News recently had on its cover, America's Best Hospitals. And you always see these things, America's Best Colleges, the colleges to go to, yada, 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 yada. And it's such a load of corn. But UCD has a good reputation for a good reason. It's a fine school, and we're wishing everybody who's a student there well.
Absolutely.
And I think that, you know, when you have a sheepskin from UCD, it's something you can be proud of. As part of today's program, I wanted to do some comedy stuff and refer to maybe some things off the web, for starters. This was sent to me a few years back about maybe some educational facilities that weren't up to UC Davis standards. In fact, the story is that in Missouri, the Assistant Attorney General, Eric Veith, got a court order to bar the International Commission for Schools from issuing any further college accreditations in that state after it granted one to a fictitious school created by the Attorney General's office. Veith's office had asked the commission to accredit Eastern Missouri Business College, a college they described as granting doctorates through the mail in fields such as marine biology, genetic engineering, and aerospace science. College faculty included, Arnold Ziffel, the name of the pig on the old Green Acres television program, Edward J. Haskell from the Leave It to Beaver show, and M. Howard, Jerome Howard, and Lawrence Fine. Yes, the Three Stooges.
Great educators.
They made up a college seal in Latin which read, Solo pro avibus est educatio, and one that said, Latricinia et raptus. Now, these translate loosely into English as, Education is for the birds, and everything from petty theft to highway robbery. So this was a school that perhaps needed some looking into, but yet it was accredited. So the commission president, George Reiter, responded angrily, pointing out, the attorney general made a big deal out of the fact that I didn't know who the Three Stooges were. Well, I've been to about two movies in the last 5 years, and we don't know Latin.
They must be so proud.
Now, I should point out that our guest today, Dr. Andy Jones, is part of the English department.
That's true. I'm a lecturer in the English department.
And I think that you are, no doubt, Dr. Andy, familiar with the Bulwer-Lytton contest that's held every year at San Jose State University.
I do. I know someone who won it 1 year.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I had some selections from that I thought we might share with our budding young scholars over at Davis if they haven't seen a series of books called A Dark and Stormy Night.
Right.
Which are very funny. But some of my personal favorites, the premise is that it's the worst opening line of a novel.
Is it opening line or opening paragraph?
Well, they stretch it out into paragraphs, but it's the worst opening of a novel, of a hypothetical novel, which I think... I was a very poor student of English, and so I certainly can relate to someone trying to put together.
You're making up for it now, so.
Well, I'm trying, but I just got to do a few of these. This was not a winner. We've got the winner here. We'll save for last. But this one opened. Ah, hell! Groaned the Contessa, who up to that point had shown no interest in the conversation. That's a bad opening. Another one was Edmund waited. Then immediately, waited again. is another one. Jack was going to be there in 5 minutes when Jill discovered she had baked her lipstick in the lasagna. She was stacked like a fat man's plate in a one-time-through smorgasbord, so I grabbed a dish and followed in her wake.
Oh, mixing metaphors.
But the best one, and this one's hard to top. This one won. I don't know if this is your friend's. I hope
I don't think
your
it
friends.
Is, but let's hear what you have.
The top choice. The countdown stalled at T-minus 69 seconds when Desiree, the first female ape to go up in space, winked at me slyly and pouted her thick, rubbery lips unmistakably. The first of many such advances during what would prove to be the longest and most memorable space voyage of my career. You must be familiar with children's literature.
Yeah, I've got two kids. I spent a lot of time reading books without a lot of words in them.
Well, we have a selection here. These were children's books that didn't quite make the publisher's cut.
All right.
Kids' books that didn't make the cut. You are different, and that's bad. The boy who died from eating his vegetables didn't make the cut. Umbrella Paratroopers, not a success. Hey, kids, let's try to blow smoke rings. This one I especially like. Babar meets the taxidermist. Curious George and the high voltage fence. Daddy drinks because you cry. Junior electrician outlet patrol. The man in the moon is actually Satan. And that's it. I'm putting you up for adoption. None of those apparently made the cut.
Yeah, I haven't seen those in the kids section of my local independent bookseller.
All right, continuing along with our back-to-school edition here of Radio Parallax, I'd like to read from Dave Barry, a man we're very fond of, who I had the good fortune to hear speak in Santa Rosa last month. And I would like to read part of his sterling essay, College Admissions, excerpting here. Dave Barry says, basically, you learn two kinds of things in college. One, things you will need to know in later life, which you spend about 2 hours on. Two, things you do not need to know in later life, which he estimates you'll spend 1,998 hours on. Barry points out that after you've been in college for a year or two, you're supposed to choose a major, which is the subject you intend to memorize and forget most things about. He points out there's a very important piece of advice that goes along with this. Be sure to choose a major that does not involve known facts and right answers. This means you must not major in mathematics, physics, biology, or chemistry, because these subjects involve actual facts. If, for example, you major in mathematics, you're going to wander into class one day and the professor will say, define the cosine integer of the quadrant of a rhomboid binary axis and extrapolate your results. If you don't come up with exactly the answer the professor has in mind, you fail. The same is true in chemistry. If you write in your exam book that carbon and hydrogen combine to form oak, your teacher will flunk you. He wants you to come up with the same answer he and all the other chemists have agreed on. Scientists are extremely snotty about this. So you should major in subjects like English, philosophy, psychology, and sociology, subjects in which nobody really understands what anyone else is talking about and which involve virtually no actual facts. Now, Dr. Andy, I want your comment on this. He gives a description of the subject or the major of English.
I think that's right. And I think that within English, the subject of poetry, which is one of the topics of my show, is even seen as even more obscure, and that people are able to understand even less. So you can talk quite authoritatively about poetry at great length, as sometimes I'm forced to do if, say, a guest cancels on my show. And you really don't have to make any sense.
Right.
And you can pull it off quite well because there are no facts involved. It's all interpretation. And sometimes you can go into your own kind of personal interpretation, bring in facts about your own life that are even less relevant to the poem or the topic at hand. And that's also worked very well for me on my show.
Well, to that very point, Dave Barry suggests that if you're going to major in English,
yeah,
keep in mind this involves writing papers about long books. And you have to read little snippets of it just before class. Here's a tip, he says, on how to get good grades on your English papers. Never say anything about a book that anybody with any common sense would say. For example, suppose you're studying Moby Dick. Anybody with any common sense would say Moby Dick is a big white whale, since characters in the book refer to it as a big white whale approximately 11,000 times. So in your paper, you say Moby Dick is actually the Republic of Ireland. Your professor, who is sick to death of reading papers and never liked Moby Dick anyway, will think you are enormously creative. If you can regularly come up with lunatic interpretations of simple stories, you should major in English. Philosophy. Basically, this involves sitting in a room and deciding there's no such thing as reality and then going to lunch. You should major in philosophy if you plan to take a lot of drugs. Psychology. This involves talking about rats and dreams. Psychologists are obsessed with rats and dreams. I once spent an entire semester training a rat to punch a little button in a certain sequence. Studying dreams is more fun. I had one professor who claimed everything we dreamed about, tractors, Arizona, baseball, frogs, actually represented a sexual organ. He was very insistent about this. Nobody wanted to sit near him. If you like rats or dreams, and above all, if you dream about rats, you should major in psychology. And finally, among potential majors, sociology. Again, quoting from America's foremost humorist, Dave Barry. For sheer lack of intelligibility, sociology is far and away the number one subject. I sat through hundreds of hours of sociology and never once heard or read a coherent statement. This is because many sociologists want to be considered scientists, so they spend most of their time translating simple, obvious observations into scientific-sounding code. If you plan to major in sociology, you'll have to learn to do this same thing. For example, suppose you've observed that children cry when they fall down. You should write, methodological observation of the sociometric behavior tendencies of premature isolates indicates that a causal relationship exists between groundward tropism and lachrymatory or crying behavior forms. If you can keep up this up for 50 or 60 pages, you will get a large government grant. Well, that was fun.
It was.
Dr. Andy will be joining us in the second segment here, so please stick around. We're going to talk about a subject that you all are familiar with, television. This is Radio Parallax on KDVS 90.3 FM.